We're in Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnayos Zayin and Ches, continuing the topic of Nigi Begodim, the Tzuras involved with clothing. Remember, we had in Mishnah Gimel the fact that colored garments are not susceptible to misnagoyim. So our Mishnah now, Mishnah Zayin, is going to discuss a garment that has rows, some that are white and some that are colored. So the colored rows are not susceptible to misnagoyim, but the white the white rows are. So kaita, the Rav says malbush, it's a type of clothing shirgilim lebosh b'yamos achama, which is worn in the summertime. The targum of kaitz is kaita. However, he gives his own understanding. Shula shon romi, that this is actually Latin. Shekorim lemalbu shel isha kutia, that they call a woman's garment a coat, some type of outer coat. So this coat, this summer garment, whatever it is, this kaita shesh bo paspasim, it has rows of colors. Minumaros, pitzvoim, harbe, many colors, multicolored clothes, lovin, v'yorok, v'shocher, v'demeyem, white and green and black and the like. And paspasim l'shun pas yad, the palm of the hand, shepisis yad, l'fonenu lovin, pisis yad, be begid shel tseve. So you have hand's breadth of a line. It's a hand breadth that's white, and a hand breadth afterwards a line that's colored. Now, so kaita shesh bo paspasim tzivuim ulavanim, colored and white stripes. Posim mizeh lezeh, that the pisoyon could go from one to the other. So, posim mizeh lezeh. However, that's milovin, because we said Mishnah Gimel that there's no two misnagoyim. There's two by colored garments. V'yafal pisha tzavua mafsi choshu pisoyon. So we're talking about with the pisoyon goes from one row of white. The color, this coloring of that white, goes to another row of extends. Its paisa extends at the end of the first week. At the end of the second week, it extends to the another row of white. So, and we'll discuss at the end of the Mishnah the concept of pisoyon that's far from the original om, from the original source. The pisoyon rachuk, the Rav says, mitame bikagris. A pisoyon that's far from the original source is metame if it's the size of a gris. So sholus Rebbe Elozer, we had a very similar mishnah earlier, just a few weeks ago. Vahari, where the talmidim asked Rebbe Eliezer, I think it's Rebbe Elozer ben Horkanis, they asked him the kasha on what he stated. What if there is only the Rav's girsa is pispus yachidi? If there's only one white stripe there, klomar im lo yibo el pispus echad lavon, the kol shura pispasim svuim mi boi hezger olo shum de ein lo lehechon yifse. In other words, the whole white stripe originally was discolored by the nega. So now there's no place for it to be posa. There's no place for this nega to be posa. Bari hu pispas yochid or pispas yochidi. In what case, what would be the din that it requires hesker? So he says, Armelahem lo shumati. Now he didn't hear that it requires hesker. But he didn't hear from his Rebbeim the reason why it requires Hezger. So, Amar Rebbe Yehuda ben Becerra, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said to him, to Rabbi Elazar ben to Rabbi Eliezer, Alame, bo, the same exact dialogue as we had earlier. Alame bo, let me teach the reason. So Armelo, and again, remember earlier he said when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Rabbi Eliezer says Lo Shumati, that he never said anything from his on his own in halacha which he didn't hear the Mesorah from his Rebbeim. So Lo Shumati, I didn't hear. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says to him, Alamebo. So Armelo, he said to him, Im lekayim divrei chachamim hem. He's asking permission, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is asking permission to give the reason why, even if there's one stripe that's completely colored with nega and there's no chance for pisoyon, so why is it require hezger? So Armelo, im lekayim divrei chachamim hem. If you're going to fulfill the mesorah that we have, that does require hezger. Armelo shemayamod bo shnei shavuos. Because maybe it will last for 2 weeks, and when you have a nega larger than the size of a gris or larger that lasts, that remains for 2 weeks, doesn't diminish, then the garment is burnt. So Armelo, so Rabbi Lozer said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Chochem gadol ata, you are a great sage. She kiyamed the divrei chachamim, because she fulfilled the word of the sages. Now the question is, this answer is very clear. I mean, it's possible, you know, if it stays. So the halamina, probably what Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov was bothered by, he might have thought that for a garment to be susceptible and require hezger, that it has to be able to fulfill both possibilities of tuma, staying and also pisoyon. And if it doesn't fulfill, because it's not capable of fulfilling both, then perhaps it's not in the parsha of Nagoyim. But his mesorah was that it was. He didn't know why. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said to him very clearly that there's no havamina to make such a distinction, that even if pisoyon is inapplicable, that since it can remain for 2 weeks and then the garment will have to be burned, that the garment requires hezger. And the Mishnah concludes, HaPisoyon HaSomuch Kol Shehu. If the Pisoyon is right next to the growth is right next to the Om, so that's it doesn't have to be a large amount. It just be a small increase in the size of the Om. Harachok kagris. However, in this case, where it's, let's say, at the other end of the garment, or a row or two away, in such a case where it's rachok, where it's far, then the pisoyon has to be a gris. V'hachozir kagris. If the nega is cut, it diminishes, and it's cut out, and a matlis is put in this place, and then nega comes back either to the matlis or to a different area of the garment, when it's chozier, that nega that comes back also has to be kagris. So hapisoyon hasamuch, if it comes immediately out of the om, even a small amount, kol shehu. Harochuch, if it's far away, a different part of the garment, then it's it requires a gris. Or if it comes back later, after the diminished color is cut out and replaced with the matlis, it comes back to that garment, anywhere on the garment or the matlis, then it's it requires to be the size of a gris. That's the end of Mishnah Zayin. Hashesi v'ha'erev mitamim b'negoyim miyad. Now here we're talking about the materials for the shesi and the erev. The Rav says that Hashesi for Erev Shol Semer, Shenikra ben Shesi LeErev, there's a distinction in materials used, the types of wool, or the types of thread. It might be that the thread might have more strands of thread when it's spun. For a, say, the Rav gives the explanation Shesi is dak. The shesi is, and we said the shesi is the are the long, the vertical strands. The erev of ma'od. The erev, the cross strands, are very very thick. Of ma'od, they're very thick. So you can tell the difference between a shesi and erev by the types of thread that is being used. So once the Tanakhama is saying that once they're spun, once the threads are spun, they're liable, susceptible to tumas negoyim, even though not in a beged, because the Torah says, see, beged semer, o beged pishtim, o bishesi, o be'erev. A beged semer, a woolen garment, or a flax garment, o bishesi, o be'erev. My beged should nigm. So the so now that's what the Torah says. So Rabbi Yehuda on that basis says, Omer hashesi mishi sholek v'erev miyad. The shesi, the is when it's first washed, but mayim roschim, it's washed out with mayim roschim. The Rav says v'yesh svarim shegorsi mishi yishle. When kolomer mishiyu sholim umisirim also shol is draw out something when they remove it from the boiler from the pot shisholkim also labnam, in which they're boiling the material in order to whiten it. So Rabbi Yehuda argues the Tanakhama says as soon as you're spun they're susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Yehuda mir hashesi misha yisholek, that the shesi either when it's boiled out to be whitened, or when it's removed from the yoreh in the whitening process. For erev miyad. So Rabbi Yehuda argues, at least in the shesi, see bebeged semer bebeged pishtim, o b'shesi o b'erev. Ma beged shenigmer malachto, af shesi v'erev shetigmer malachtum. So apparently, the erev threads, they're finished when they're spun, whereas the shesi is washed afterwards. The Tiferes Yisrael explains the concept. The erev midabuim ben chutei hashesi. The erev it was woven into the standing threads of the shesi. Shemunochim dechukim. Yachad, the vertical strands are many threads that are closely linked together. So they're tight, and they tend to be more threads than the erev. They cover the erevs, the cross threads. Hari mechasim so b'shnei stodim. They cover the over the erev on both sides of the garment. Ukad yaminu the eno nira. So since it's not visible after the weaving process, ein makpidin kol kach alibuno. So the erev, once the threads are spun, that's when they're ready. Erev miyad. So Rabbi Yehuda says says the beged is nigmer malachtom, av shesi v'erev mishutimer malachtom. And a Tanakhama sovar o b'shesi hifsik inyan, that the o, if this is o beged pishtim o b'shesi o b'erev, so when this is o b'shesi, it's mafsik between the two inyanim, and whereas the beged has to be nigmar malakto, the shesi, this is the Tanakhama, the shesi and erev are mitame ben neguim miyad, once they're spun into threads that are recognizable as shesi and erev. Avo unen shel pishtin, unen shel pishtin. Rav says a gudos midvir shel pishtin. There's bunches of spun flax. By flax, they say they don't make a distinction between. There is no noticeable distinction between shesi and erev. The Rav says ulfish be pishtin a nikra ben shesi le erev kubit semer. It's not recognizable as it is by semer. Perhaps I'm wrong. Maybe perhaps it's not the amount of threads spun together. It might be that they use different thicknesses of wool from different animals. A thicker wool for the erev, and the thinner wool for the shesi. However, So hunan shel pishtin agudos mitvah shel pishtin, bunches of spun flax. Ufishu bepishtin ein nikur ben shesi la'erev k'mo b'tzemer, because by pishtin it's not that discernible between the shesi and erev as there is this difference by tzemer. The Tana doesn't make any distinction by pishtin, by flax, between the shesi and the erev. So unen shel pishtin, just clumps of spun thread, mishiyis labna, when they're whitened, when they're washed out. Shishinosti moson, now that they're not washed, the Rav says shinosti moson bitanur. They put into a furnace, into an oven. Shishchamamu. The hevelat tanur, so that they'll warm up from the heat of the hot air of the tanur, the islam nusham, and that's how they get white. Just the heating process whitens, I guess, removes impurities and the like. Then the Mishnah asks, kamiyehe bepikas. In a spinning wheel, the pikas, I think, is what they call in English the bobbin. That's the piece of wood in which the wool gets. The spun thread gets wrapped around. So eid shehanoshi misavabos hamidveh min hakush letocho. The kush is the wheel that's in which the part that's connected to the wheel itself, the spinning wheel, and the spinning wheel is attached, the thread gets attached to another piece of wood which receives the spun thread, and that's the pikas. So kamiyehe bepikas, how much thread needs to be in the pikas if the thread on that pikas becomes discolored with tumis neg, with a damdam yurak rock, the colors of discolorations of tumis nige begodim. So the pikas is the eisha noshi misababos, which they spin hamidva min hakush letocho, from the spinning wheel, I guess, or the rod of part of the spinning wheel letocho onto this bobbin. So the Mishnah says kedei le'erog mimeno sholosh sholosh. If there is enough material on the bobbin, receive the spun thread, in order to make a garment that's 3 etzpos by 3 etzpos, sholosh sholosh, shibushir lasos kula beged sholosh etzpos, al gimel etzpos mimeno, 3 etzpos by 3 etzpos, so gam hashesi gam eriv, applies both to the spinning material for by wool for the shesi or for the eriv, the toni afilu kula shesi. Even if it's all material of shesi, afilu kula erev, you don't require the woven state, but even the shesi by itself, or the erev by itself, is mekabel tumis negoyim. Afilu kula shesi, afilu kula erev. Now, the Mishnah continues, hoysa pisikos, if there were cut pieces of thread, the Rav says, shoyu achutim shbekas, if the threads on the bobbin were cut pieces of thread, they weren't unified one mass of thread, but they were made at different times and cut. They were mufsakim lo habichiber, just being on the bobbin together, wrapped around each other, is not enough of a chiber. Alim hoyu kishurim, if they were kishurim with a knot, habichiber. So so the Mishnah says sholosh sholosh shesi v'erev afilu kula shesi afilu kula erev. The Rav quoted that already. I should have read it first. Sorry. So sholosh sholosh, that's the shear that has to be on the bobbin on the bakas, shesi v'erev, the shesi and the erev, or afilu kula shesi, even if it's all shesi, afilu kula erev, or entirely erev. Hoysa pesikos, if they were cut pieces of thread, any metamis ben negoyim, they're not metamis ben negoyim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu pesika achas v'koshra ena mitama. Even if it was cut and it was tied, if it was just one cut between the two threads, and they were tied together with a kesher, it's not mitame. So the Rav explains, she'ein b'kol ha'apikas elo psika achas v'kshora. There was just one tear. Lo havi chibur. He doesn't view this as a chibur. It has to be the thread intact on the pikas. And the Rav says vein halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda, and the halacha is not like Rebbe Yehuda. The Tiferes Yeshua explains a little further what the swari is. The sphere like the benifsak achut, afilu rak b'mokum echad. If the thread is split, even in one place, afilu chozer k'sharo. Even if he's back and he reties it, ein makabel tuma b'negoyim. That a split itself is mafsik, even if it's tied, it's not considered a natural thread, and as a result, it's not makabel tuma b'negoyim. So that's the end of Mishnah Ches. And again, the halacha is like the chachamim, that tying is sufficient to make it makabel tuma, and not like Rabbi Yehuda, that tying is not.